Thank God for keeping and blessing Sister Simon as well. Amen. We have health challenges. It's just a blessing every day God gives us. Amen. So we just bless God for all of you. Amen. Because without you, there would be no agape. Amen. We just thank God for all that He's doing. Has anyone just take the time to say, Lord, just thank you? Amen. You can just take a moment and just say, Lord, thank you. Amen. As I said, Sunday, I think it was a 2 or 3 month old baby, just riding down the street innocently, not thinking about anything or worrying about anything, the parents call the baby, and the baby gets shot and killed while riding down the street. We serve a mighty good God. Amen. And then I don't know how many of you have been keeping up with all the flooding in South Carolina. But, amen. So we got to be so mindful of keeping them in prayer. And then I've been reading and trying to keep up with the story of this ship, the cargo ship that was sailing from Florida to Puerto Rico and got caught with a storm. They said it is highly unusual for a ship of that size to sink. The ship was actually almost to length of 3 football fields long. It was loaded with cargoes, new trucks, new cars. It was just loaded to the gills. They say it's unusual for a ship that size to sink. And I'm sure all of those that were on that ship expected it to be life as normal. But things are changing at such a rapid pace. Amen. We never know from day to day what's going on. And if you're monitoring what's going on with Russia and the United States, tug of war over in Syria, we're living in the public divide calls the last days. And it's so amazing how people are focusing on all the secondary stuff and they're missing the primary thing. They're focusing on the secondary. They're actually missing the primary thing. It's just so much happening all around. And as my wife has been telling me about what she was showing what she's going to show tomorrow evening in current events. So I did some research just to try to keep abreast. So I'm not in the dark. And it's just amazing how the Catholic Church just puts stuff out of our face as if they can do something about it. So I was reading some of the stuff. Even their popes and priests have said, yes, we did, and what are you going to do about it? It's basically what it amounts to. Amen. So Bible prophecy has been fulfilled all around us. The Bible has been opened up, the scripture all around us. But you know what the devil gets us to focus on? What doesn't count. You know, we forget about what really counts. So that's why we're going to continue our series on a spiritual self-examination. Now, we've been doing, I think this is our 6th week. Now, the question that we have to ask ourselves, during our spiritual examination, have we changed? Or is everything as normal? You know, the status quo, we just go through everything the same way? Are we still handling all of our situations the same? Or do we have a spiritual awareness? Amen. A spiritual awareness makes us more God conscious. A spiritual awareness makes us more God conscious. And I was actually speaking to someone, time goes by so fast. Especially since justice has been beaten to death down that roof. I would tell some stories about you, Justice. We're going to let it go like that. Amen. But time has been going so fast since we've been roofing it. Thank God we're almost finished with the roof. Thank God for justice, yes. Call me today. I thought, Justice, we're going to take a roof break today. If I look at me underneath, man, where in the world have you been? Tar all down the pants everywhere. What are you doing? Amen. I was speaking to someone the other day, and you know, they were telling me about hardships, difficulties, and things that happened to them in the past. I said, you know, I very well could focus on the past. But God has been too good to me today. Now we all know scripture, but most of us don't live scripture. Amen. We all know the scriptures, but we don't live the scriptures. Amen. And this first, I was talking to tell me the disappointment, the hurts, and how they can't believe how certain people have done certain things to them. And I said, you know what? I probably could go back there too. I said, but God showed me something. Amen. God showed me that how can you preach forgiveness if you don't live the forgiveness? How can we preach so much of the Word of God, but we don't live it? Amen. So I said, you know, I could take that same mindset, but if I want God to forgive me, I'll have to forgive no matter what they've done. I got to forgive them. So it's not a time just to keep reading the Word, but then it's time to live the Word, especially when the people in Paul writes that we are the living epistle and that we're written on of. We're written on the wall, man. And during our spiritual examination, when somebody reads you, do they see Christ or do they see the world? Do they see the love of God or do they see the same attitude that's portrayed in the world? I don't think y'all see me. I'm going to keep moving. I'm just sick of it, man. But when they read you, do they see the Bible or do they see the world? When you give a response, now this is part of our spiritual examination, right? Because we're all trying to get closer to Jesus. We're all trying to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. I don't care how ugly they act. You can't give an account for anybody else. But what about you? The Bible says, oh, every time I pick up a baby, she says, come on, what about me? Right, y'all? What about me? So I'm saying, what about you? Forget about everybody else. What about you? You can't give an account for anything that anybody else does, but you can't give an account for yourself. So tonight, as we examine ourselves, as we focus on God's Word for us, what does God think about you today? Amen. Let's not go back a couple of weeks, because if we go back a couple of weeks, we're probably all in trouble. Anybody ain't go back to last week. Let's just go back the last couple of days. You do your own personal evaluation. How have you conducted yourself? How have I conducted myself? Amen. How have I reacted to situations? Amen. The other day I was driving down the street, this guy was acting like a nut, blowing his heart and stuff at me. And I just had to close my eyes and count to three to make sure I didn't act like he had. I'm just saying, I was like, Lord, now I could say something, now I could do something. Then this lady pulled up and did something, looked at me, something said, followers here. Seriously, said, followers here. So I did get behind her because it was the same way I was going. I was really trying to scare. So when I got there, she turned. I said, yeah, I can easily turn. But I'm going to do the God thing. I just keep going straight. Right? So we're testing on an everyday basis. But I'm not going to get up here and try and teach you all something that I don't live in. Amen. So every day I'm trying to put those things into practice. And what we have realized is that the devil's going to always hit you when you're at your most comfortable spiritual moment. Right? When you relax, he said, now I can get him. After you finish prayer, reading your Bible, you are up on a spiritual high. The devil said, okay, they're not going to be ready for me because they're all into the spirit. So out of nowhere, the devil will do something to test you. Everything God permits to happen to us is nothing more than a test. And in the test, God say, you know, the good thing about God's test is going to have two grades. You either pass or you, because he said you can't be lukewarm, you can't straddle the fence, there's no in between. So with God, we either pass or we, so in examining what we've done, how we react, Then we passed it. Now let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 9 through 17 together. Now once again, we're praying for the families of those that lost loved ones on that cargo ship of Pharaoh. You know, they said they did get a distress call. They don't know exactly what happened. But when something is determined to get you, even no matter how unusual it is, the most important thing is that you are ready. Right? The most important thing is that you are ready. Ready for what? If the Lord were to call my name tonight, amen. There are times when God gives us a chance to get some stuff right. But sometimes it's your moment. How will you answer the call? Tonight, your moment. How would you answer the call? I can't tell you how you would answer, but one thing I can tell you is, Lord, I want to be ready. Is there anybody here tonight that just want to be ready? Amen. Jesus said, bring forth fruits that are meet for repentance. Amen. Verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do we all have it? And if we don't have it, we know it's where. Verse 9 reads, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be we want to be acceptable of who? Everything in our daily labor, it should be to please God. Amen. For we must all appear before the judgment. Are there any exceptions? We must what? All appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things in his body. So we're going to appear before God. You can't make up an excuse in this. God said, you got to give an account for how you've conducted yourself. The things that you've done right in your body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest. Everything we do is open before God. We're persuading others, but our life is still manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciousness. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat them which glory in appearance, not in. They glory how?
Appearance.
But not in
heart.
They do all the right things for appearance. But when you get to the heart, there is something missing. So they are glorying to be seen and receive the praises of men, but not of God. Verse 13, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is
God.
Whatever you're doing tonight, it is to who?
God.
Your actions, they are to
God.
Your speech, it is to
God.
However you're conducting yourself is not to man, but it is to
God.
Why? Because we want to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains. Amen. Why do you do it? God's love constrained me, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that which lives should not henceforth live by. How are we living tonight? He died for us, but who are we living unto? But unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, no man is not important what you're doing for the flesh. Tonight we're doing it as unto God. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him. Therefore, if any man, when I consider all this, if I'm in Christ, he is a what? New creature. All things have passed. evil. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word in the church then.
Word of the Lord.
Is blessed already. You may be seated. So Paul goes through all of that to say, you know what? In the final analysis, what we do, how we conduct ourselves, is all unto God. Because we're going to all appear before the to give an account for the things done in our bodies. Amen. So tonight the question that we want to ask is after he asks the question in verse, let's go back to verse, amen, we don't have a lot of time, but let's go to verse 16. Verse 16 means, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him not after the flesh. Amen. Our responsibility, stop being in the flesh. Amen. The scripture said, to be carnally minded is to be deaf. If we walk after the flesh and the mind of the flesh, Romans 8 chapter said, we cannot please God. So when we're in our flesh, when we're walking according to our own desire, we will displease God. Because our whole focus is going to be on ourselves. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made, whatever we do, it is still open before God. Even in the corners of your own, the solitude of your own house, the solace of your own home, you, whatever you do or say is still manifest. That means it is open to God. It cannot be hid. No matter how much you choose, it cannot be hid. And I trust all will be manifest in your conscience. So let your conscience be your guide. For we command not ourselves to give unto you, but give you occasion to glory on your behalf. Verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that one died for all, them were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto them. So he's going about judgment. He's going about our conscience. He's going about how we conduct ourselves. He said, but you're not supposed to do it unto yourself. So when I'm doing a spiritual examination, how much of my life is consumed about pleasing me, and how much of it is about pleasing God? Amen. Jesus, our perfect example. How many, we're Christians. To be Christian means to be what?
Christ-like.
So I'm going to be Christ-like. Christ said, I do always the things that please my Father. That is to be a Christian. That is to be Christ-like. As I said earlier, we all know the scriptures, but the scriptures have not become a part of our lives. Because verse 17 said, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. So what it really means is a new creature in Christ should have no resemblance to the old man that was before Christ. Are y'all with me? I mean, new creature where? In Christ. Now, God forbid if I get in Christ and act like I acted before I got in Christ. All things are in reference to what characterized and conditioned me before I got saved. A new creation, a new creature, means that God changes you if you surrender.
That's right.
God changes us if we surrender. So if I meet someone that I knew 20 years ago before I got saved, I've been saved longer than 20 years. I've been saved longer than some of y'all old. Yeah, I'm going to say 39 years. Like, that's supposed to be all out of the picture. So I guess I can't go back 20 20 years, I'm going to go back 40 years. Well, that's a long time. I've been walking with Jesus a long time. And I can tell you one thing, I'm not tired yet. Jesus took my interval.
I just want to say here, I feel more led to deal with the old man than the new man.
Let's find some of the characteristics, habits, and traits of the old man that we should not no longer be seeing. If you see some of you before you got saved, you need to work on it. That's what Paul said, work out your own
salvation.
Lord, and terror of the Lord, we persuade. He said, but even in persuading me, your works are still manifest before God. Amen? So verse 17 reads, this I say therefore and testify, testify what? That ye henceforth walk not as in the vanity of their mind. So when you get saved, your mind has to change. Paul tells the Romans, he said, be not conformed to this, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. So we're not supposed to conform. That word conform comes from the Greek words kahistratizo, from which we get our word schematics. We're not supposed to follow the schematics of the world, but we're supposed to have our minds transformed. Amen. And that transformation of mind, the word I believe for transform is metamorpho, which means there should be a metamorphosis. What is a metamorphosis? It's a revolutionary change. It's a radical change. There should be no reflection to the past. And you know, it's amazing the word that they use for transformation, which is metamorpho or metamorphosis, because it says that when the butterfly, the monarch butterfly, we use it in particular, lays its seed and lays it on the milkweed. Right? This is not Paul, this is God in this list. Right? So the egg starts on the milkweed. When we first get saved, we're what in Christ? Days. And we're supposed to desire the seed there. Milk of the word. So the seed starts on the milkweed. That's the only plant that the monarch's butterfly will survive on. But then the egg, because it's on the milkweed, it just doubles in size. It grows and grows because it's on the milk. But it can't see on the milk there. Then it changes. So it changes from the egg to the pupa, from the pupa to the this, to the that, to the larva. But at the end stage, it becomes a butterfly. And that butterfly, you let it repopulate. Justice. Actually, I'm just scorching. It's four cycles that goes through. All right, science. Four stages. But nevertheless, that's not the important part we're focusing on. What we're focusing on is the butterfly doesn't look anything like the egg. The finished product doesn't look anything like the beginning product because there is a transformation. There is a metamorpho. There is a metamorphosis. That's the word that God chooses to show how we are to be. So our new creation should look like anything like it started off. Can you say thank you, Jesus? Y'all don't leave me. I'm going to try and say, I'm not going to stop and say, what do you say? What's that? Yes.
And give an account of it. People have said, well, if I had sinned and I asked God for forgiveness and he forgets it, cast it to see forgiveness, would that be brought up?
No. Whatever's under the blood is under the blood. Yeah. For us, the judgment for us is now in the what?
House of God.
And it said, if the righteous that's why people say, once saved, always saved. I don't know how that can be true. Right.
What do you say? That's
confirmation. Oh, yeah. He said, if the righteous scares to be saved, if you're saved, you become godly. He said, if the righteous scares to be saved, then what shall a sinner and the ungodly If you're saying you live righteous, you're going to just barely make it in. But if you let down the standard, you're going to make it ungodly and a sinner, you can't make it in. We're going to just barely make it in doing it right. Right? So the judgment for us begins now. God judges us every day. And Tim Paul writes to Timothy, he said, some men sin for beforehand. That's those that got it right. God don't remember those sins before. He said, but woe unto them who sins follow the blood. Right? That's a dangerous position. So I choose to take mine and leave them there. I'm going to get it right now. Amen. So once again, our end state should not look like our beginning. Verse 18 reads, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the, it means you don't even realize what God expects from your life because of ignorance when you think like the Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. That's why Paul said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. So you have the mind of Christ and you have the mind of the world. Right? When your mind is not after Christ, it's after the world. So now you are alienated, amen, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the
heart.
So when you don't choose to be godly and you let your heart guide you, it blinds you. Amen. And once you're blinded, then you open, give room to the devil. Because the scripture says, for if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them that. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Well, you will be blinded eventually. Amen. So you got to get on the God side. All right, let's keep going. We're on time. Verse 19 says, who being past filling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness and is that you know what they don't they what they do now, they're past filling. God's word, God's doesn't have an impression on them anymore. So they can do something and know it's wrong and it doesn't even bother them. Why? Because they're past filling. Why? Because they are letting their minds guide them and not letting God's spirit. And because their mind is guiding them, they can act ungodly. And it don't even bother. I ain't talking about the chaos, I say amen. Listen to you. Right? When you get to that state, you do stuff that doesn't even bother you anymore. You can act contrary and say, follow me. That's your own mind guiding you. And that ain't the mind of Christ. He said, Paul said, when you act like that and you're walking, the vanity of your mind is void of understanding when it considers the word of God. So in your vanity of your mind, you said, I'm going to walk according to my own heart and I don't believe what you're saying. He said, well, you have just blinded yourself. Well, what blinded you? You didn't accept God's word and you've been governed by your own heart and your own mind. Amen. So that's what we have to let this mind be in us. Amen. Verse 20 said, when you act like that, guess what? I don't care how saved you say you are. You have not earned Christ. What are we going to show? I want to show I've earned Christ. Well, how do you show you learned Christ? I got to keep going. It still means that you have heard him and have been. You have learned him and been taught by him, and the truth is in
Jesus.
It ain't in the Father, it ain't in the Son, it ain't in the Holy Ghost, it's in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. They said, who are you, Lord Jesus? So I am the way. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. Now, sidetrack for a minute. In Genesis, when the Lord kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, he drove them. They were their choice. He drove them out, lest in their sinful state, they would go back to the tree of life. So the Lord drove them out. Now, Jesus is the what? Ways. The what? W-A-Y. This is the thing, you got the Garden of Eden. And God said, there's only one way into this garden. So he didn't put a cherubim on the east, the west, the north, and the south. He put a cherubim where? On the east side. Why? Because there's only one way. And what's the cherubim going to do? Protect the way to the tree of life. So Jesus said, I am the way to get you back to the tree of life. No charge. Let's keep going. Amen. So that he put, verse 22 said, that he put off concerning the what? That conversation does not mean talk, even though it could include talk, it means your former conduct. The way you handled your life. The way you carried yourself. He said you got to put that what? Off. Amen? That you put off concerning the former conversation, old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be have your minds transformed, be renewed in the what? Gift of your mind. Anytime the mind starts conducting itself like you did before you got saved, that mind has not been renewed. I don't care what conditions or standards or things happen, but I just couldn't help it, then you need to pray more. Because the Bible says if you're faith in the daily version, it reveals that you've been praying like you haven't been praying. I messed up because you weren't spiritually strong. Amen. So if you faint in a daily verse, so all of a sudden you keep, God forbid if I say a whole lot of old, every once in a while the old me do sneak around. I'll be in the house sitting there, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing here?
Amen. Even as parents, can I go here for a second?
we have, yeah, we have a few little kids. Let me have mothers with babies in all the If you have a bad day, and your child is just being a baby, and you get ugly, that is a sin. The Bible says God dispatches an angel to watch over babies. Right? I said, man, I should have did babies. How about children, period? Because y'all saw other mothers with babies. I should do glory over the thing like that. I'm not just talking about a mother. But I'm saying, yes, you're angry. It still can cause you to sin. You can't act ugly.
Amen.
If you got older children, and you are angry with them, and you act ungodly to them, that is a sin. That ain't the new man which is renewed after righteousness and truth. But that is, all right, we keep going. We're going to say that before. Obviously, I'm so glad I'm having children. You guys so let's keep going. He says, let not the sun
look down.
God said, you know, you can have a bad day. But if it happened Monday, by midnight, that should have been gone. I'm just trying to help y'all out. He said, now if it happened, you can't let the sun go down on your wrath. And you can't let a whole lot of days of sun go down on that wrath. Because if you let the sun go down on the wrath and you wrath and you hold on to that, that is not righteousness and true holiness. That is the flesh. Are you with me? So he said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't you get mad and you stay in one part of the house and let's say brothers and sisters, right? We all deal with husband and wife. You can't get mad and you stay in one side of the house for a whole week and the other stay on the other side of the house for a whole week and come to church and smile and God said, oh, that ain't true holiness. Because what you did was manifest. God said, and that wasn't a new creation. That was not the new man, which was renewed after Christ. If we don't say amen, say ouch. It said, neither give place to. We're trying to distinguish, and I gotta hurry up, we're trying to distinguish the characteristics of the who? The old man, not to give place to the devil. Let them that steal. I could mess with that, but that's still there's more skill. If you take something that ain't yours, steal it. My mom was a righteous lady. My mom was by the book. When I first got saved, never forget it. Went up to the cleaners, they were getting ready to close, and the person was being lazy and didn't want to cash me out. So he said, just take your clothes and go. Take my clothes and go. He said, yeah. Cash register and clothes. So I said, oh, good. I saw the price on the day. I told my mom a couple weeks later, I said, yeah, I got a blessing. She said, yeah, what was your blessing? I said, I went to the cleaners, they were closed, and they said, take those clothes and go. She said, boy, go back and pay them people. Now I have a couple dollars anyway. That would mean he's be ready. 4 years still, go pay them. This is, I don't know if I paid them back or sometime, but I figured out a way to get money away. But my mom didn't play games. She said, you know what, you gotta be right. Right, you gotta do the right thing. So let him still, even if you think you're doing it with a blessing, if it's not rightfully yours and you take it, it is still. All right? Y'all good? You can sometimes, now if you're in the same house, Brooke and James, this is all right. And they know that y'all are sharing the table, then it's still. Right? If you share the table, and they know it's in, you know, I got one with them, then it's still. But if you're on that wire, and that's why they send those signals out there once in a while. What's wrong with my cable? You would have stolen it. So they send that signal to the wire and shut you down. And then when the person that was getting the cable called, they said, you know what? You got some extra lines on that. And they come to your house and go in and they just attack my church. And if you did, if you don't do it
anymore.
Because that is stealing. We almost read this. He said, let him, but rather let him labor work with his hands, the things which is that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt. Don't let nothing ungodly corrupt communication proceed in your mind. He said, if it's up there, keep it up there. Don't let it out. But then be careful, because you got to give account for your right word too. So if it's up there, get it out. He said, but don't let it come out of your, if it come out of your mouth, that's cool. The old man. Right. We're just trying to identify the old man from the new man. Amen. But that which is good to the use of, you know what Paul said? You can't say something good to have somebody, then guess what? Don't say anything. Because whatever you say is going to be good for edifying and not to tear somebody down. Because with all your words, it's just wounding another individual's reputation. The Bible calls that also blasphemy. Right? Not blasphemy as the Holy Ghost, but blasphemy. You speak evil with corrupt communication. You're tearing somebody else up. God said that is the old man. We only got a little bit left. Y'all with me? Verse 30 said, and grieve not. What by ye seal until the day of let all. Let's read these last together. Y'all ready? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, but put away from you with
all malice.
You're supposed to do what with it? Put it where?
Away
from you. And the last verse. And be. Wait a minute. That was, the old man is gone. All right? All that ugly stuff. Now we're going to put on the. Be what? Kind, one to another. Wait a minute. Wait, I didn't ask kind. I'm going to get there. $10. I know I'm overtime. Y'all charge me for this. Put it on my account. Overtime. Good thing about old time, you get extra money for old time. Oh, yes. You got to be kind. I don't care what kind of game you have, you still got to be
kind.
And the Bible says do good to
all
men, but especially to those. in your neighborhood than you are to the you get tenderhearted, forgiving. Do we, as we all say, are we forgiving? Forgiving of the even as God, listen, God went through Christ. God let Christ suffer for you. Even for God, as God for Christ's sake, forgave us. If you don't have a spirit of forgiveness, if you don't have tender kindness, anybody can be in themselves and say stuff to crush someone to pieces. But it should never happen in church. Because we are supposed to have learned Christ. We are supposed to be a reflection of Christ. As we all stand, all the workers and the elders come forward. I'm examining myself tonight. When I leave tonight, I give y'all permission that we don't believe in physically killing anything. But if you go home tonight and you see the old you there, put them out. Don't let them stay. Don't let them stay. When you get there and you see them, put them out. Amen. Tonight is all about being a new creature.